Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 290 for February 8th, 2021. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And today you're going to be seeing Michael Filigera's screen. You should be able to see his chart right now. So my name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today I have arranged for Michael Filigera and the option professor to return. And we're going to have a special Elliott Wave focused episode today. Talk about what Michael and Jim think are going to happen related to the Elliott Waves in the markets for this year. So the option professor is moderating again today, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Great. Okay, David, good to be here and good to have everyone here with us. Michael, before we get started, a little bit about yourself and your background and what's going on at your firm.
Okay. My name is Michael Filigera. My background is that I started in the markets in 1979 as a market maker here on the Pacific options floor. I have traded here in San Francisco. I've traded options on the London traded options market and also on the European options market in Amsterdam, and then also on the DTB, which is the German electronic bourse. And came back to the United States in 1997 and went back down to the Peacoast and had a really good time until things really started to switch and move all electronic, and everybody started to leave the floor as well as myself. And that's when I actually started to trade electronically and not floor-based. So it was quite a learning curve for me. In any case, to bring it more up to date, I am now just a day trader and primarily in the equity indexes, but I also trade gold and I'll trade bond and basically I'll trade anything. But I have switched my websites and moved over, and I'm now a part of Traders Helping Traders, and that's our new site. And I'm providing analysis on that site and also getting ready to get together and do some podcasts. So that's kind of my update for right now.
Sure. Okay. Well, today we're going to be going over a little bit of how the Elliott Wave may be shaping up. You know, as I see things right now, you know, we've got the Russell and the S&P with 91% of the stocks above their 200-day. Mike Wilson of Morgan Stanley was on the Squawk Box today talking about how the correction to 3650 was the correction and that's it. And we got Societe Generale talking about a run-up possibly in this period up to 4070 on the S&P. So the level of bullishness and the throwing in the towel on anything bearish certainly is very prevalent right now. And of course, the market can keep going anywhere it wants. But today we're going to go over some things that the Elliott Wave counts might be telling us that would be different than those forecasts. So let's start out with, you want to explain a little bit about the Elliott Wave and then, you know, get into what some of the short-term, longer-term signals look like, Michael?
Sure. The first thing to really go into is like when, and determining anything within the S&P, I went and pulled the largest or the longest term chart that I could within the Thinkorswim platform. And on the S&P, that goes back to 1984. So it includes the 87, and I'm trusting that everyone can see my chart now. And it includes the 87 crash, which is this little blip right there. And so this first connotation, the large Roman numerals, I am counting a cycle wave. And so within that, the next designation down is a primary wave. And so being that we're counting a rally, and that is the direction of the trend, that the moves are going to come in five waves, the corrections being three waves. So by that, I mean that on a larger scale, I'm still looking to count five waves up. But within that, the waves start to subdivide and form their own five wave structures. So we have wave one, wave two, and those are cycle. Then you can see we break out and we do a five wave rally or advance on a primary basis, and that formed cycle wave three. And then if you kind of can go back in time, you'll realize that at the same time, that was when the Dow, against all odds, went up and made new highs, which is actually here. But so what we finished wave three, now we get an ABC pullback, and that forms cycle wave four. And it was actually quite beautiful. And this was the financial collapse of 08, 09. And when you look at it on a chart like this, it's like, well, when we were trading it, we thought the end of the world was coming. When we take a step back, we see, it was just really just a normal decline in a seaway position, and it fit all the parameters. From there, we start to take off again, and we begin to rally. Now, this is where I really get into more detail, and you can see that the market does a primary one, primary two, and then in this third wave, it starts to subdivide, and that's not uncommon in Elliott. And not only did it subdivide once, it subdivided within the subdivisions, which again is not uncommon. Third waves tend to be the strongest and the longest within any sequence, whether it's up or down. So in the direction of the trend, that third wave is going to be the strongest and the longest. So here we see we have one, two, and then it subdivides again, and one, two, three, four, five. That completed the first third wave in this run. Then we had four and then five again. That completed the primary wave three. This was the COVID decline back in March of 2020. That gave us the fourth wave. That blast off of it really told us that was it. For whatever reason, the market was not going to continue to go down based on the COVID news, based on the huge unemployment numbers that we had, et cetera, et cetera. And Jim and I, we had conversations on previous programs during that time. And there was a mass divide between the haves and the have-nots. And like, is the market going to continue? Or should the market go down, et cetera? And for what reasons? Well, as we come to find out, it didn't. It continued to rally. Now, I want to bring this down to a daily chart. And I'm going to now start to put some additional Fibonacci numbers on this so we can start to get an idea of where we're going. The first one that I want to put on is actually going to cover that COVID. Let me just make sure I got this right. Okay. No, I want the eyes. Yes. Okay. Got that. And now I'm going to put this. And I'll tell you what I'm looking for. So this basically tells us where we should find, if we were counting back then, where we would find resistance for the rally. More importantly, what I want to know now, when it broke out above this high, I want to start looking at the extended Fibonacci numbers. And you're going to see how interesting this starts to get. So we see that we've gotten up to thus far, we've gotten up to 3,900. So, but on Friday, we kind of sat here, actually back at the end of January, we got here and we found resistance at the end of last week, right at that same level. So that could have contained it, but now we've gone above it. And so I'm going to pull this down. So you're going to see, here's your next level, 4150, basically, we'll round it up. That's the next Fibonacci resistance on this extended wave. Now I'm going to bring this down again, because as we continue to progress, I can go in and we can start to look at where else can I start to find some resistance. So I'm going to go here. And this is, I'm going to again be using Fibonacci. Nope, that one's not going to work. So you can already see that we've surpassed all that. So I got to bring it up a little bit. No, I'm going to undo that one. Oops, come on, I'm going to undo that. And I'm going to bring it up to this last little correction that we had. And that might give me better numbers. No, let me put this one on first, because that was our last correction. You can see this ABC down. That was our last correction. And that's going to give me numbers that I need for now. Okay. So yes. So now we can see if we start to move up, we've already been above 3,900, but our next Fibonacci resistance, according to on this extension, and that would be the extension off of this low, is 3,909. So that would be next up. But more interestingly, we have 3,940, which fits very neatly into another analyst's work that Jim brought to me last week, and that fits. And now, but you can see here, 3,988. And because the topping process might take us to 4,000. And people say, well, how would we get there? These numbers tell you, they give you the potential of where this market could end up. Now, being that it rallied pretty strongly early on today, and I think they'll come back in at the end of the day, we may well end up above 3,910, let's say, and up closer to this number. Now, having said all that, what I also want to bring in, but I'll stop so that, Jim, you can kind of come in and maybe add what you want to add. But I want to then also include today how we now can use this in how we trade. And I'll try to give more demonstration or more filling in all the facts on how we can use it. But I want to let Jim, if you want to come in and add anything here.
Well, basically, I'm trying to, for the person who's not that familiar with Elliott Wave and are looking for some kind of like... bottom line of what we're seeing. It looks like there could be resistance around today's high, which is around 39.10. And then, of course, next level's up 39.40, essentially, and 39.90, essentially.
Right, exactly. And the reason that I'm calling these extensions, because you can see that essentially this decline gave us where this market should stop. When it didn't, it kind of indicates that this remains a three-wave decline, and now we need to count a five-wave advance. And that's what we're in the process of doing. So to help fill in some of the blanks that, you're kind of looking at, Jim, these give us our probabilities of where the market may go as it extends higher. But then we have to go back to our count. And now I'm trying to count five waves up. And so I could say one, two, and then this would be three, four, and then one, two, three, four, five of three, four. And so we could be in that last fifth wave up. So what I'm starting to put together is potential ending points. So we already know we have resistance at 39.10 and then 39.40. The rallies really have extended throughout this run off of those March 2020 lows. Things get extended and they push and they push and they push. I don't think that that's going to change right now. So we got to continue to allow for extensions. So that's where an internal wave is going to break down into its own five and then within it, another five. So they're just extending on themselves, but they continue to be building blocks to the larger picture. Now, so
if we're looking at time frames, I'm trying to do some, because the Elliott wave is interpreted by some people differently. You know, I mean, there's a little bit of art to the science, would you say?
Yes, I will say that. But in all honesty, I am a very old school Elliott wave. And that I learned when I first began studying Elliott wave, I studied with Robert Prechter and Dan Ascani. And they both basically told me that there are four rules and about nine guidelines, and don't break the rules. So right. I have found in a lot of the interpretations that other people are doing in Elliott Wave, they're basically breaking the basic tenets that were set down back in the 30s. Mm-hmm. So based on that, it still could be a functioning tool, but it's not Elliott Wave.
Right.
So that's kind of, and so I try to stick to the purity of it. And then using the combination of Fibonacci is what keeps me out of trouble. So gotcha. I may think, oh, this market should end there. But then I need to let it play out a little bit more, wait for my confirmation if I believe the market has topped and is now going to start to drop. There are confirmation tools, and one of them being that on an hourly chart, I need to be able to count five waves down. I don't see any in here. This was right. The closest we got was this correction. But boom, soon as it went and broke.
Get back on the bicycle again.
Yeah, it negated the downside, left it as three waves. And that tells you correction, we're going to do another five up. So you can catch this early instead of going, well, we're going to go down. The market tells you it's not. And so we have to believe the market. And so when it breaks one of the rules in Elliott, that just lets you step back and go, we're not going to go down. We're going to now do another
thing. And pretty much 37.40 was that number ballpark recently.
Yeah.
And
the true number would, you could go all the way down to 3704.
Right. 3700, then 3740, and then 3780, something like that. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Some people do time frames, Michael. In other words, one of the guys who does Elliott Wave was looking for something in the late February month to be the high point. They were thinking somewhere around, the 39, maybe the 39.50 area.
Yeah.
And that's around where you were saying.
Yeah. But
is there any, how would somebody come up with a basic time frame when this might happen?
You can put Fibonacci time sequences on the peak to trough, and you can put a time frame on that, and then I don't use them, so I can't be totally specific, but I know that they run on a time frame off of time. So if you come out,
would it be like a cyclical analysis kind of?
Yeah, a little bit. But if you move it back out, you could run a Fibonacci time cycle. I think I don't know if I have that. what's this one? Regression, no. What's Fibonacci time series. So again, not truly understanding where I'm going to put my points, but they do exist. And I know others that use it. I just have not delved into that and basically trust the chart.
So basically, you're focusing more on the actual prices and not try to do time frame analysis. In other words, like some guy might say, you know, by the end of February here, we could hit a high point and then we could drop into March and then we could go back up into April.
Oh, you know. Absolutely. And once that, let me just, I'm glad that you brought that up, because what really starts to happen is that the time frame ends up fitting a Fibonacci and the wave count. So if we're going to allow into mid-February, which we're almost there,
right,
and to the end of February, which is not going to take us that long, yes, the market could definitely continue higher, top out right in that areas we're talking about, which is, you know, 3910, 3940, maybe even as high as 50, because we can do additional numbers and we can actually add another sequence, which could start to maybe overlap one another. And then we can see if indeed those, everything's going to line up. But nonetheless, if indeed we believe that the market should top out between 3950 and 4000, which I believe is definitely in the cards.
Because that has the 0.38 number and it's got the 0.618 number. And those are two big numbers, aren't they?
Yes. So we're in the card. And you know, the Fibonacci, this is an indication. This isn't a level.
Right.
Does not mean that the market's going to go, oh, boom, that was it, we're done.
Right.
Often.
But if you had big gains, or you had or if you had some kind of a feeling of wanting to protect yourselves, you know, that might be the neighborhood to dust off the protect your capital strategies and maybe look to employ them possibly.
Right. But let me go one step, and then I want to go back to that point that you're making about how I would then use these Fibonacci levels for the style of trading that maybe people do. But going back to the time frame, if we do indeed reach that top, that would finish on my S&P chart a cycle level 3 advance. And that's going to set the stage for cycle level 4 decline. Now, again, using time frames, that decline should roll out over likely, I'm going to say, a year or more, right? For the whole thing to roll out. So when you're starting to look like that first leg down might be swift, it might be hard, in which case, looking at 3550 to 3600 at some time in March works. It fits. But then, you know, in there, we continue to feel that that might be a cycle wave 4 is going to come in 3 waves, A, a B, and a C. So we're looking for A is going to be a decline, B is going to be a rally, and then C is going to be the stronger and tougher decline. So the A wave could indeed get us down to that 3550, 3600. Again, once you do reach the top, you can set some Fibonacci levels very quickly by doing exactly what I did, which is do it in reverse.
Gotcha. So once you see you're at a high point potentially, that's been confirmed in some way, shape, or form, then you just flip the numbers around and then it tells you where the correction should go to.
Correct. Yes. And then you're going to be able to see, oh, well, this makes sense.
The real value here, Michael, is that people, if they could be in contact with you to keep you, keep them updated, they could get a little bit of an idea of where the flow of the water is. And, you know, the flow of the water, you know, broke there for a while, but then it started to go the other way.
Right.
And, you know, obviously you got to be flexible when you're investing. So, you know, you go negative when it goes negative, and then when it goes positive, you got to flip your opinion.
Exactly.
You know, and this gives you good data to give you an idea when it might be a good time to flip and when it's not.
Well, let me just say again, this is an hourly chart here. So that decline is an ABC on an hourly chart. If we're looking for a high up in this area, that's the type of move that I'm now looking for to in its fullness. And I would suspect that the first move would be like this, which is actually breaks down into 5 waves. That's just wave A. This is wave B. That's wave C. There are rules and none of the rules were broken. So it's very, very valid. And it's just, I really find it to be extremely useful, exactly for what you're saying, Jim. So if I'm looking for, and my correction would be on a monthly chart. So I'm just going to, just because I want to go take a look, I'm going to pull this back out to the monthly. Look at that. It is nothing. You can't even see it. See all those little lines? That's those Fibonacci levels we have. But now
the only thing you can see is how far it is from those moving averages. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. So if I had to pull off of here, I'm going to be taking from this low, running it up to a high up here. In fact, let me just see if I can't.
When you think about it also, just generally, you know, by the end of this month, anybody who's been talking to an advisor has gone back in. Anybody who got tired of their neighbor making money and they aren't has gotten back in. Anybody right. who's short has been blown out. So the stage would be set for the month of March to maybe get rockier. Not in addition, this $1.9 trillion they're trying to force through without a bipartisan vote is supposed to be middle of March to actually occur. And obviously, right. if they pull the rug out from under that idea, that might be the fundamental stimulus to have the turnaround that we're guessing on.
Yeah. But let me just add, Elliott Wave doesn't take into consideration any fundamentals or any news. I can tell you that a correction is due and imminent based on the count and on my Fibonacci levels. But what's going to pull it, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Nobody does, but there is always something that does.
Mm-hmm. There is. But now I want to just throw an additional ad here to show, and I'm just going to use this higher number and say that gets up to there. Now, as you can now see, look at these levels. Look at what we're looking at. Now, my first expectation is going to come somewhere into the fourth wave of one lesser degree, and that's the one that we saw right here. So again, let me pull that off so you can see it clearly. So right in here. So from that high at almost 3,400 all the way down to the low at 2,171. So that's the strength and the total size of the correction I'm looking for. It could bring us back into the area of the March 2020 decline. Now, how do you want to play that? Do you want to sit and build on a long position? I don't think so. I wouldn't. You know, I'd be looking to let me put it into a little bit cleaner time frame. On a monthly chart, if you are a definitive long-term trader, and I'm talking long-term, like you're buying for the year, you're buying for 2 years, and you take advantage of dips, et cetera, this would be one where you might want to reduce your exposure to the market or be really putting a lot of puts underneath you. And I'd be looking out at the leaps in the S&P if that's where you're long, but you need to protect because this is going to happen. That's the other part. Could the market continue to extend higher? Yes, but there comes a point that it will kick itself down and it's going to correct. One, because here Jim just mentioned, it gets too far away from its moving averages. That's extended. That means the market is extremely extended. You're going to find that your stochastic and your RSI and your MACDs are going to be pushing into overbought, extreme overbought levels on a monthly level. Another clue. So you need to trade appropriately if it's to close your positions and then let the correction happen or participate in it. Once the correction happens, your next move is for a cycle level advance. That's pretty big.
Let's take a look at the chart. Say you did think it would top out either at that 0.38 number, which was around 3940, or the 0.618 number, which was around 3990.
Right.
So let's use those two levels as an example. And okay. then what would be a 0.38 decline and a 0.62 decline?
Off of that level?
Yeah. Can you do that?
I can.
It's a theoretical, like if it is.
My first move, we're going to do one off the daily.
Okay. Yeah, do the daily. Right.
Okay. So that's that. And I'm going to run this up. Where did we say? Let's run it up to 3940.
Yeah.
So the 382 brings us back to 3265. The 618 okay. brings us back to 2850.
I got you.
So that's on a daily chart, folks.
Yeah. So the 3550 some people are talking about, they're getting that number from
that's 0.38. That's right here, 0.236. Now, they may be taking this from a little bit lower level, which might push that up a little bit, or they might be taking it from a little bit higher level, which again would push those numbers up. But from where we're taking it from the low of...
Yeah, we're taking it from from the higher low, right?
Well, we're taking it from the low of the March 2020 lows.
Oh, I got you.
And we're running it up to, we're actually above the current high is what, 3903, 3906 or something like that. And we're taking it from 3940, which we think the market should be able to reach. So we're kind of giving an estimate. It's a guesstimate. If it gets up there, I'd be looking for initially at least 3265, at least. And that would just be the first wave down. So as things progress, you're able to fill in the blanks by you're counting the pattern. You're following what's happening in the market.
Yeah.
So you have to be, one, flexible. But again, if you're trading according to your time frame, you're able to make these choices more easily and what you think you need to do. Now, again, if you're going to sit and wonder, well, I don't want to be selling because what if I miss out on the balance of the rally? It's like, oh, for good. To me, it's like if you're sitting on really nice profits and you're worried about missing the next 40 points, yikes. So you're willing to risk a possible drop of 200 or 300 or 400 S&P points so you don't miss 40. Risk reward doesn't weigh out very evenly in that particular scenario. So I try to tell people, it's like, you got to trade really what's in front of you and not worry about, gee, I'm going to give up 40 points if I get out. That doesn't mean you're going to give up the 40 points if you get out and not enter a short at the same time. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you want to get out of 25%. And if it continues to go up, get in, you know, continue to get out if indeed that is what you feel you need to do.
Yeah.
But I use these Fibonacci levels as guides. They're not cast in stone.
No.
So when the market doesn't have to get to 39.41 to flip. Absolutely doesn't.
Do you have anything on the other side? Like, in other words, if you get to 39.40 or you don't get to 39.40 and it starts to break, say 38.40 or 3800, would that be giving you more of a confirmation that the high is in?
Yes. And it also would depend on.
So what levels now would you say are kind of important as far as that S&P is concerned?
I would first, what most important for me is to be on an hourly chart, tracking it and seeing a 5-wave decline on the hourly chart.
Okay.
I'm just going to do this.
So, and the hourly chart obviously is a very smaller universe of information, but it's going to be most sensitive to data than the longer term stuff.
Right. I mean, to put it in perspective, it's like when I'm day trading, which is what I do, and I day trade in the NASDAQ, I use a 1-minute chart for my entries because I want to catch it. I want to catch the turn,
right,
or, you know, whichever it's going to do. And if it starts breaking my moving averages, boom, I want to get it because I'm a day trader.
Right.
But if I'm a swing trader, I'm going to go out to at least my hourly. And my hourly is not telling me to be short.
Right.
The hourly continues to tell me be long.
Right. But a break of what number might give you a hourly thing?
A 5-wave decline. And as I can see, here's the high. And this is my hourly. Can you see? It's like, it's nothing. We got 3 waves down.
So you need 5 waves down off the top end.
Yeah.
To give you some idea that the rolling over has started.
Right. And when that has happened, you're going to get a bounce off of 5 waves down. You should then get a 3-wave rally.
Right.
So then you got time. If you get your confirmation, then you can start to exit on the rally.
I got you. So you get your signal that the high has been made and that a turn has occurred.
Yep.
And then you start doing whatever hedging tactics or trimming or whatever you want to do.
Yep.
Into that.
Yes.
Now for people who are doing it, you know, you do it, obviously you can do it in any time frame, but you're doing mostly for the short-term trader who obviously wants to catch rides and get out as quickly as possible if he's wrong, right? I mean, that's basically what you try to do with the day trading, is try to get into a nice run. And then if something's not right, have a pretty quick exit point so you can try to, keep the risk down. But what about somebody who is more like asset allocating and, you know, now we're talking about maybe their IRA or something, you know, where they're looking to park money. Parking money here at 3,900 to 4,000, based on what you're seeing.
High risk.
This is a high risk place to go parking?
I believe so, yes.
Because from what you're reading into the Elliott Wave, it looks like there's a better than even chance that you could get a correction in the next month or two?
Yes. I think there's a high probability that we will see a correction of some sort. So
because the end of this quarter, quarter, and basically quarter two is where many people think the vulnerability exists. Do you see any kind of evidence that might tell you that, you know, starting in March, let's say, which is the end of the first quarter, and through April, May, and June, you could unwind this thing a bit?
Yes. And what's interesting, and I'm glad that you brought that up, Jim, because if we just go back last week, which was the first week of February, just about every single day, folks, look at it right here. Here's your daily. Up, 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 up. It was all higher. And every day, what you saw was that start of the month, IRAs, 401k money coming in. And the hedge fund managers and the portfolio managers, they must put that money in. So when the reverse happens, which we saw this morning, by the way, not real huge, but you see them coming in. They were buying the broader market, but in the NASDAQ, they were like, we've had enough. And it basically was in the FANG stocks. So Facebook, Apple, Amazon, and Google and Netflix. But those five stocks, bam, 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 they just hit them. And because they just have the orders, sell, just get me out. And so I saw money exiting, and then the new monies came back in.
Right.
Now, so to put that into perspective as to what you're saying, yes, when it's time and they're starting to reverse positions and move money out of the market, I like to be ahead of that curve.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get out at a better price. And I would rather base that on what I'm seeing in the market versus what the masses are doing, so to speak. And I hate to put it that way because the masses can be absolutely correct.
Well, they have been a little bit on Bitcoin.
They have been a little bit on Bitcoin. You're right. But someone's asking me what I foresee after the wave four ABC correction ends after a year or more would be a significant rally. And that came from George. So George, it would be a significant rally in my mind. And it would be a five-wave rally. So, and because I'm thinking it's going to stop on a cycle level wave four, we'd be counting a cycle wave five. And that is going to end up taking the markets back to new all-time highs.
Yeah, because a lot of guys who are pretty sharp, they're still using numbers of 45, 4,400 on the S&P. Mm-hmm. The question is does it go right there from 3,900 or 4,000? Or do they clean the clocks of some people with some, less than positive news in Q2, and then basically start that advance from a lower level, which would be nice for people who want to position for the longer term.
Right. But you know what, though? When you say that, it just reminds me of, for those that don't know me, I am a gold bug and have been since the 80s. And the one thing that I've always realized about gold market makers, the traders, they know how to clock the weak hands, and they do it all the time. If the market is too long, they will come in and jam this thing down $100 or more. And then you just see them fleeing. And then what happens? They take it right back. So yes, I think the same thing can happen in the equity markets as well.
Yeah.
You know, it just gets to a point where it's like, we're going to find out who's got the strength and who doesn't. And unfortunately, a lot of the retail investor, I hate to call them that, but it's somebody who is, gets up in the morning and they make some trading decisions, and then they put the positions on and off they go, either to work or to do something else. And I think it can, that's the part where it's like, use Elliott the way you want to, or the way you should, and that's going to help you protect yourself all the way around.
How about if you look at an individual stock that's going to be in the news today, and that's Disney?
I will put Disney up in one second. George is asking another question about after the big five top in a couple of years, then what? Major decline, because then you're finishing five cycle waves up, and it's not going to be pretty when it comes down. It's not going to be pretty. So I would be looking for a major decline, and to go much further than this one will. So, and now Disney. Sorry about that. Let me put up Disney, and then we could. And this is Disney on a daily. Wow, look at that little guy, up $8. So what was your question? What do I think?
What does it look like? Yeah, what would be your Fibonacci or target on the upside here? They're supposed to be announcing, obviously, that they did well. And then, of course, the Disney land stuff is supposed to be opening. But anything that has recurring income like Disney Plus, the market just absolutely loves that.
That's true. And supposedly they're supposed to come out with some good stuff. So that would help. To be honest with you, this is pretty much just like the S&P. You were working on, this is the COVID low, the March 2020 lows. Now we're counting five waves up. And as best as I can see it, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is one, that's two. And now we subdivide 1, 2, 3, 4. We're finishing the third wave. So we're going to get a correction direction, just it should follow the S&P. It's a member of the S&P, but it should follow the S&P. So I would, hold on. Let me put, this is on a, that was a week. This is the weekly chart, folks. So it could take it a little while. So you can see it has surpassed, it gapped above the 382 level.
Mm-hmm.
And now 618, we got just below 200. Now, often you're going to hear people say, well, the round number. So that's going to be 90, 200.
Right.
Those 200 should be a tough little cookie for Disney to kind of poke its nose above without some substantial earnings. They've gotten their butt kicked because of COVID. So if that continues, I don't suspect their earnings are going to support the rise.
Their earnings are going to be good from their Disney Plus and maybe some ESPN. But I don't know if it's off. Can it offset no movies and
it's very possible.
And Disneyland,
But I'm going to say these earnings that they got here, these are including Disney Plus. So
I tell you one, there's an oil stock that was in the news today too, British Petroleum. And it was intriguing because it's been down and, I'm wondering if there's something happening and the oil market seems very firm.
Right now it does, but I actually have a very negative outlook for oil. But that may take a year to kind of play out. This is the weekly. Let's look at the daily on BP. Boy, it's gappy. The gaps on this thing when they're on earnings.
It's a long way from the yearly high, that's for sure.
It sure is. But I see this as 5 down, 3 up. So the daily chart is kind of telling me, look out below. Let me go to the hourly. Hourly confirms that. Yeah.
Not as good looking as the other ones. Yeah.
No. And in fact, I would not look to get long. If this pans out, what this pattern is telling me, it's going to go make a new low first. And you might want to let that happen.
All right, let's get into the two before we run out of time. Let's get into the gold and then GDX. So let's look at the physical metal gold and then let's get GDX.
Gold, I still like, always have. But the daily, now, Jim, last week when we talked about it, it did exactly what we thought.
Right, it's going to hold that 1776 and bounce.
But I still think it needs to come down and put in a new low, even though the daily's not as supportive of it. But if it came down and put a new low below 1767, that should set the stage for a really sweet rally.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think I got an A, a B, and this is only the C. So I'm still thinking that is holding, producing the bounce, which you would expect. But I think we turn again and we come down more towards that lower numbers that I talked about, which was like down here. I mean, first one we got is down below 1767. But below that, I think we can find some support probably back down here, 1675, which is not that unhealthy, but if you're sitting long gold from 1900, it's going to be a hurt. But I don't think it's an unhealthy move. And there's too much uncertainty in the dollar, in the euro, in interest rates. And so that's going to keep gold on edge for a while. Yeah. Now you've said GDX.
Yeah.
Again, sometimes we see GDX move without a lot of interference from the actual physical gold market. This one is actually a better looking chart than gold.
Yeah, well, sometimes it leads.
Yeah.
So if this thing could get going, it would be positive for the gold, but it does seem to still have some problems with the 36 and a half area.
Yes. And you see how the moving averages are bunched up right there.
Yeah.
We got the 20, which is now kind of just squeaking above. Then we got the 200, which is flat as a pancake.
Right.
Along with the 50. And that tells you sideways.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then right above that, we got the 100. So they're not in line for a strong rally. We may get up to that daily 250, which is sitting together right there, and then slip back down and finish this leg of the correction. Although this leg of the correction came down and equaled that prior low that we saw in November of 2020.
Might be better to look at buying in at 37 than stopping out at 34 and risking $3 and see how far you can go.
You would buy, say that again?
Buy, stop it at 37, meaning if you hit 37, you take a position, and then if it breaks under 34, give it $3, risk less than 10%. And if you're right, obviously, and gold gets going on the bicycle, you probably get a good run out of it.
If you're right, you're going to get above 40.
Yeah, so there you go. So the risk reward is not too bad.
Yeah. And because if it starts to break above these moving averages, that will start to pull things up. That will start to, these moving averages will quickly catch catch up to price. So, and you could actually take it down to the hourly chart and really fine tune. See, in the hourly chart, it's already above everything.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it looks like it's percolating here, but percolating is not a cup of coffee, right?
But I'll tell you what I'd want to see. Yeah, I like that. I'd want to see this 50 and the 100 get above the 20, and then eventually the 20 needs to get above the 200, and eventually they all need to get above that 200 to set the stage for a strength rally.
Yeah, because you see on the decline, they all are all are crossed, and when they all cross, that's when you get the bigger move.
Exactly, you'll get the same thing going the other direction. Good point. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Let's hit silver. SILVER.
You want SLV with the...
Well, let's just go with SILVER, the actual metal. And okay. Then we go over SILJ, the juniors.
Oh, okay. This is the physical. And this is the hourly. This was the hype. Mm-hmm. This was the hype we don't believe.
But that was a perfect place to buy against, $26.
Yeah, because if it can get back down there, it's going to get back down and kiss the 200.
I'm just saying, when it hit that point, you can see why it bounced out of there.
Oh, yeah.
You had high points there and low points there. And, you know...
But I'll tell you what's in its favor. Look at these moving averages now all lining up.
Yeah. 50 no, just silver is a stronger deal than gold, no doubt about it.
No doubt about it right now, you're right. And it's gained more interest right now because it's playing catch up.
What about SILJ?
That's not a future. That's SILJ. It's just...
That's a junior miners.
Right.
That one went down to 1450. It looks like a go now.
Yeah. And again, moving averages are lining up very nicely.
Yeah.
So yes, you might... And look at this. This is the 8-day on an hourly. It's nice. It's moved down, it's corrected, and it held it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a positive. If it breaks, you look for it to go down to the 20, which is what? 20 cents.
Ooh.
But enough to really kind of put you in a position where, like, okay, I'll buy again.
What would that come in at? A 1564 or 1550?
1574, 1575, right in there.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, you know, and your stop's going to be below the 200.
Which comes in around
1551. So 1550.
Which it broke today. It's having a good day today. Let's throw one last metal up there, which is one that's kind of a dark horse, but I happen to have good feelings for it, my opinion. Platinum.
Oh, see, I looked at that one before. I was ready for you. Platinum has been stellar, but again, I'm going to pull this up, and then we've got some questions, so we're going to go in and take a look at those for folks. The daily platinum looks pretty good. Now, if I really pull this sucker out, which I think we need to do, let's go out to the weekly. Look at that beautiful rally. But again, it's performing along with gold, and it's now picking up steam.
Yeah.
And look at all those. I'll tell you that your last key here, get that 100 above that 200.
So if it can sustain itself for a week or two, that would be very positive, right?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Because those averages are way underneath 1,000, and this thing doesn't look like it has a lot of interest to get under 1,000.
Not right now.
Yeah, not right now.
We're looking at the weekly chart. So I agree. Not right now.
You know, I just sometimes look at things like, you know, when the gold to silver ratio is at 110 or whatever it was to one, you know, that's way out of whack, and it generally will not last. And so now it's in the 60s. And silver obviously has done very well. And then platinum, you know, is was $800, $1,000 discount to gold. And historically, it's already traded a premium. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, being 7 times rarer than gold, et cetera, et cetera. So, I just got a feeling that this platinum, anything $800 to $1,200 seems to be a pretty reasonable asset.
Right. I agree. I'd answer a couple of questions here. George is asking again, and speaking of gold, will that get pulled down big time when the wave four correction comes? It could. And initially it might. But the big thing about gold, it does not like uncertainty. If a market starts to fall, then that's starting to produce uncertainty. What would help pull gold down is if it was falling because rates were rising, if the dollar's getting killed, if the euro's getting killed. You know, those are the factors that you want to put in if gold is really going to start to drop, because that's what keeps it in, that's what controls it. I don't have an elite wave count for the dollar index. I probably should, but I haven't been over there for quite some time. I could do one. And if you really have an interest, send me an email and we can go from there. And Danny is asking if Elliott is my main tool. It is to form my big, larger picture, and even to sometimes form my smaller intraday pictures. But Fibonacci is big. And then my big tool for day trading, Danny, is moving averages.
Yeah, they're based on price and time. And, you know, they're not going to lie, right?
They definitely don't lie, Jim. Yeah. We've learned that the hard way, haven't we?
Exactly. Well, we're coming to the top of the hour, and I think people should be aware of how to get a hold of you. And then when they get a hold of you, you can explain what kind of services you provide. And then they can, make a decision if it would add value to their investment picture. I find this all very, very educational and very interesting. So I definitely see there's some value to it. But explain how people can get a hold of you, and then you can explain how to participate.
Sure. You can get a hold of me by sending an email to michael@logicalsignals.com. My website is tradershelpingtraders.com. But easier to send me the email through Logical Signals, because then it comes directly to me and not having to go through another website to get to me. So michael@logicalsignals.com will get that email to me. And I love questions. I like conversations. So please, I don't think there are any dumb questions, so just go ahead and ask. And that's how you can get a hold of me. And again, my main focus right now is personally, I day trade. And so I stay pretty much no positions overnight. I do have core positions, but that's in gold. What else did I want to add? I guess that's it.
Yeah, no. Have them contact you and you'll give them all the details. As far as optionprofessor.com, we do have a free weekly update that we give on all the markets, and it is free of charge. It's a weekly market letter. And you go to optionprofessor, O-P-T-I-O-N, professor.com, put in your email, and then you're in the queue. And every week you'll get an update on what we're seeing from everything from the stock and the bonds all the way to the crude oil and the metals, as well as international markets and the U.S. dollar. So there's a lot to cover each week, and it's free of charge by going to optionprofessor.com. Michael, we got to do this more often. That's no question. And we'll talk to David about that, arranging that. And yeah. David, I'll throw it back to you now. And I thought it was a good talk here.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Very good discussion today. So lots of good info for everyone. So just a quick reminder from me about timing research. If you if you want to get more updates or instant updates on new episodes, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or your favorite podcast directory or app. You can also always go to just timingresearch.com, and I post all the shows and presentations there as well. And so I just want to thank my guests again for today. Michael Filiguera of TradersHelpingTraders.com, or his email, michael@logicalsignals.com, and also the Option Professor at optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.